gotta get up, gotta get going, gonna see a friend of mine.
He's round and he's fuzzy, I love him because he's just Pooh Bear, Winnie the Pooh Bear. Looking for fun, chasing some honeybees, Pooh Bear, I know he's out there. Bumbly, tumbly, climbing a honey tree, he never ends for us, we're so adventurous.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo and Trisha and Eric behind the glass and in between time warp speed. I don't know what that meant. What did I mean by that?
I don't know. I rarely know what you mean.
That sounded pretty interesting, though. In between time warp speed. Okay, who knows?
What a
anyway,
sweet song. You know,
that's a lovely song.
I love honey, don't you?
Well, don't call me honey. That's embarrassing.
I didn't say I love you, honey. I love honey.
Oh, honey.
Spelled with a H-U-N-N-Y. Of course, the new adventures of Winnie the Pooh, that theme song, bringing us back into this segment on Breakthrough Entertainment's Pandemonium Spectacular.
Spectacular, because this hour's...
Now, in just a second, because Dave, this hour
is brought to you by Alexander's All Care Automotive, and he is the guy you want to see. You know, I'll just keep saying it, integrity, honesty. That is what you want a mechanic, and with sophistication to fix and diagnose and correct anything and everything related to your auto. He is that good. Call him 602-956-3781, 602-956-3781. Tell him Dave said hi. He remodeled too. He has like a TV and like, you know, soda, water,
coffee maker.
Yeah, the whole thing. It's really cool. You could sit there and watch TV. I like it.
Yes, absolutely.
Good service.
And, you know, I do want to mention that we are streaming live on stream, stre.am/breakradioshow. We are working on getting that on our official website, breakradioshow.com. But in the meantime, stre.am/breakradioshow. And shout out to all of our watchers on there, including Untoward, who's giving us some great advice during the break. You can chat with us during the break.
What kind of advice?
Technical advice. Yes, technical advice.
Oh, like turn the volume down because it's distorting?
Well, that was last week, but this week he's giving us some other advice. But you can check it out on there, or you can check us out on Meerkat. You can find Eric Reinert 1 on Meerkat. And I cannot recall a morning when I was a kid that I did not wake up on a Saturday to watch The New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. You know, it was like one of the first things that I ever, you know, did on a Saturday morning, just that theme song. Great memories. Nostalgia. And right now, we've got someone in honor of the release of Kung Fu Panda 3. I just reviewed it, gave it 3 stars. Very good movie. And right now, we have on Mark Brody from Panda Mountain. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Mark.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
Great, great. So, you know, tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us about Panda Mountain, and because we're looking at the website right now, but I think you'd be best in describing what this is.
Thank you. So, Panda Mountain is an American organization that works in China's most famous nature reserve. So the great home of pandas in China is called the Wulong, W-O-L-O-N-G, Nature Reserve. And it's in Sichuan Province. Almost all of China's pandas are in Sichuan Province, which is in southwest China. And our work in this nature reserve is focused on both protecting and restoring panda habitat, ensuring that pandas have a home in the wild in the future.
Wonderful, wonderful. And the website for that, Trisha, you have it up, right?
Yes, is www.uscef.org. But you can just Google Panda Mountain and it comes up.
Pandamountain.org.
Yeah, pandamountain.org is, we have 2 websites, but the updated website would be pandamountain.org.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I Googled Panda Mountain, and that was the one I got.
That's
so.
What I thought, too. Okay. Yeah.
Well, there's a couple out there.
Excellent.
Some great resources, and of course, like I said, we have you on because we love talking about the real aspects of the movies that we talk about, of course, Mark. So we're just going to briefly touch on Kung Fu Panda. Have you seen the new one, or have you seen the previous two?
I've seen the previous movies. I have kids that love them. So I'm certainly, I enjoy it myself. I haven't seen the new movie.
Okay.
What about that panda video of the panda playing in the snow? Did you see that?
I did. That was adorable. They're remarkably cute. Remarkably cute critters. Yeah.
But will they tear your arms off? Are they? Can they be vicious?
They're known in kind of the history of China. They're actually known as a very powerful animal with amazing strength. But for the most part, they're very much a gentle creature. So it's interesting how the panda has become this great warrior in the movies. Mm-hmm. But there's very many facets to pandas. It's quite interesting, their character.
Now, are there any similarities in terms of pose behavior that at least that you witnessed in the first two Kung Fu Panda films that are really reflective of a real panda, or is it just sort of like people being creative and going with it?
No, I think there are good similarities. As I said, the idea of pandas having tremendous strength, mm-hmm. They don't use their strength. I mean, they are, and if you think of the pictures of pandas, especially as young pandas, they're very fun-loving, roly-poly kind of critters that they wrestle with one another. They're, I would say, teenagers or youth. They're very gregarious the way they get to play with one another. But as pandas mature and age, they become very solitary animals. So in contrast to Po, who seems to love and engage everyone in his path, actual adult or mature pandas live very, very solitary lives. They don't have, like, you know, you see sometimes with chimpanzees or other primates, you see animals in a group. But pandas are really solitary creatures in the wild.
Let me ask you this.
So there are those kinds of things.
Mark, number one, what do they eat? And number two, do they have any natural enemies at all?
Well, those are good questions. So pandas, the interesting thing about pandas is they once upon a time were carnivores. And for whatever reason, over time, they changed their diet from being a carnivore meat-eating to becoming more now a vegetarian. And so most of their diet, almost all of their diet is bamboo. And so they're constantly, constantly eating. If you see pandas in zoos or other facilities, you'll either see them sleeping or eating. That's really about almost all of their activity. Almost all of their day is either spent eating or sleeping. And so they have to eat so much bamboo because their digestive system is not actually constituted, or it didn't evolve to be a vegetarian plant-eating animal. So they don't really process and get a lot out of the bamboo, and therefore they have to eat so much. In terms of predators, once a panda is mature, it is it's safe. There's no, it's not at the top of the food chain in terms of eating other animals, but a mature panda has no natural predators. Younger pandas do have the risk of where they live, there are snow leopards and other types of leopards and large cats. So until a panda is about a year and a half to 2 years old, they could be prey for a very large cat in the wild. But once they reach that year and a half, 2 year mark, they're large enough and strong enough to protect themselves from anything.
That's fascinating. Just one last follow-up question is, how do you know they switched, you know, from meat eating to a vegetarian type diet, and when did that occur, and why did it happen? Oh, a three-parter.
That's one follow-up question.
That was,
carnivore to herbivore sounds like it could be a long evolution.
I'm like a politician here.
Yeah, there you go. Well done. I think that, again, these things don't happen quickly. They've looked at different types of, I would say, fossils or other types of just the genealogy of studying pandas over time and how they've evolved. So they've had different types of bones. I don't know exactly when they left meat eating and became mainly plant eating. Now they do occasionally. They're still considered an omnivore. They're not exclusively vegetarian, but almost all of their diet is vegetables. And I think that probably happened. I'm trying to remember. It was probably 500,000 years ago. It's been a long time that they've been just plant-eating animals.
Dave, that was right before you were born.
Exactly.
I remember now.
Well, I mean, what an amazing, I mean, what we've learned so far. I know Trisha's got another question, but I just want to remind our listeners we are speaking with Mark Brody on behalf of Panda Mountain in honor of the release of Kung Fu Panda 3 yesterday. So far, what we've learned is that real pandas, unlike Po, don't eat buns and dumplings, and they also wouldn't be friends with tigress.
Correct.
So go ahead.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, well, tigress actually... I hate to tell you, but
what's going on
and tigers don't live in the same part of the world. But, you know, it's nice that they can be friends in the movie.
Yes, very true. So, yeah.
You know now, when I was born? Today.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Happy birthday.
Wow.
Wow.
Well,
why would you know it?
You know, Mark Brody is not just representing and being here on behalf of Panda Mountain. He's actually one of the founders, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Excellent.
That's true.
Well, I will tell you, I'm from the San Diego area originally, and we have,
of course, the
San Diego Zoo, and we have the huge panda exhibit. And I will tell you, as an annual pass holder who went almost daily with my kids, there was always and still is always a huge line to get in to see the pandas. They have to keep people moving in order to be able to let everybody that wants to watch them because everybody enjoys watching them so much. And I see here that you have actually partnered with National Geographic to have a geotourism type destination in the Wollong area where all these giant pandas are. Now, I say all of them. I think it's home to what you said, 150 pandas, giant pandas?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Which is amazingly, you know, they are super, super endangered still. So tell us a little bit about that program.
Okay. Well, a couple of things just about the statistics, just so people get an idea of how many pandas are out there. There's around 1,900 pandas in the wild, 1,900, and there's about 400 pandas in captivity. In all of the zoos, research centers, breeding centers across the world, there's about 400. So there's around 2,300 pandas in total. And in this particular nature reserve, there are both wild pandas and captive pandas. This nature reserve, the Wollong Nature Reserve where I work, was very heavily affected and impacted by a massive earthquake in 2008. There was a huge earthquake in Sichuan Province. And so the nature reserve has been closed for the last few years due to lack of highway access, but it's going to change this summer. They'll be opening a new giant panda captive center where people can come and see pandas in captivity. And so it's kind of important to know there's a real distinction. When people see pandas, you're seeing captive pandas. Pandas in the wild, as I say, are very solitary. They'll smell you and perhaps hear you, and they're in thick brush or bushes of bamboo or in forests. So they'll run off before you ever get a chance to see them. So the work with National Geographic is about giving visitors to the nature reserve, and we call them geotourists. A geotourist, as opposed to an ecotourist, is a National Geographic term. And the idea is that when people come to a place, they contribute to that place. Their visit actually enhances the place and makes it better. And through a Panda Mountain program, people are going to have a chance to work with local villagers in planting and helping restore habitat. So in our nature reserve, various parts of the reserve have been affected by logging in the past, agriculture, grazing animals. And so we're looking to connect different pieces of habitat. I mean, sometimes you hear the term wildlife corridors. So we are actually now going to be planting, we're raising native vegetation in nurseries, and that will be transplanted by visitors to the nature reserve as a way that they can contribute and become part of a conservation restoration program. So hopefully that all makes sense.
Oh, it does.
Everyone.
And I think it's a great opportunity for people to be able to have that combination of being a full worldwide citizen, making this world a better place for the animals that are there, as well as being able to enjoy a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity while visiting China. So I think that's absolutely incredible. And I would much rather see pandas, even if they have to be in captivity in their own homeland than to see them necessarily out. Although I will tell you, San Diego Zoo has done a phenomenal job with their panda exhibit, you know, as best as can be.
Right. And San Diego Zoo, to their credit, has been really a forerunner in the research and veterinary care. San Diego Zoo also had a breakthrough in terms of greatly improving nutrition for pandas, which has really improved the life, quality of life, and survival rate of pandas in captivity. So they've made a number of scientific veterinary care improvements for pandas throughout the world.
Wow. Well, once again, we want to thank you, Mark Brody, founder of Panda Mountain. Thank you so much for speaking with us and helping shed some light on real life pandas in honor of Kung Fu Panda 3. Everyone check out pandamountain.org. And Mark, have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Best to you.
Thank you for joining us. Wow. How
very
fun.
Nice. You're welcome.
And of course, this is Phil Harris singing Bear Necessities from Jungle Book. We're going to have a real live Jungle Book, live action Jungle Book in about another month or two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the movie's coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we saw the previews. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Send the fancy ants.
And maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you.